Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Now, from the Star Rentals Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
Headlines brought to you by Buddy's Goodies and Glass. It's always 420 at Buddy's. A lot to cover on the NFL side and also on the NHL side. First off, Tom Brady not commenting on his future, saying it was, quote, too soon, end quote. Emotions tied to the 30-27 loss to the Rams this past weekend. ESPN reporting the 44-year-old before the game undecided about his future. 1 year left on his contract. In the NHL side, three stars of the week announced. Chris Kreider, Ville Husso, Timo Meier, your three stars of the week. Chris Kreider is your first star. Ville Husso of the Blues, second goalie to put a shutout up on the Kraken this season. 3-0 for the week, stopping 97 of 101 shots. Timo Meier of the San Jose Sharks, the third star, scoring six goals in three games. The NHL announcing line combinations, upcoming All-Star game in Las Vegas 2 weekends from now. Jordan Eberle of the Kraken will go, and again, he's got some buddies who will play on that same line with him on national television. Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, all three together with the Edmonton Oilers back in 2016-17 before Eberle departed for the New York Islanders. Also in a trade 4 years ago, the Coachella Valley Firebirds, also new AHL affiliate of the Kraken, unveiling new team jerseys today in Palm Springs. Kraken CEO Todd Lywicki, also Tim Lywicki, Oakview Group, a part of the announcement. The jerseys coming out of a special treasure chest along with Steve Frazier, team president of Coachella Valley. That team next season, the primary minor league affiliate of the Kraken, starting up in Palm Springs. CVFirebirds.com. For more information. Also, the NFC-AFC title games all set once again. Chiefs will take on the Bengals, and the 49ers will take on the Rams. A lot to unpack from this last weekend. Future implications. Mike Sando of The Athletic on the line, and again, brought to you by Cascade Ice and Wired. Are you looking for a caffeine kick? Try a refreshing, locally made 16-ounce can of Cascade Ice Sparkling Water with 160 milligrams of caffeine, no carbs, sugar, or sodium. But if you are looking for more of a kick, grab a Wired Energy drink loaded with 344 milligrams of caffeine. Available at local grocery stores. Again, Cascade Ice and Wire. Time to bring in Mike Sando now of The Athletic. Mike Benton filling in here for Ian Furness today. Mike, a lot to unpack. Thank you here for a few minutes with us, my friend. Did we just watch the greatest weekend in NFL playoff history?
Probably. It's hard to imagine you'd have four games go down to the last play and then have the quarterbacks going like that, right? I mean, it was amazing. When you figure Rodgers and Brady were on the losing end, right?
Yeah.
Josh Allen played as good as anybody could play and lost. So amazing. The last game, no turnovers. Touchdowns all over the place. Final 13 seconds, lead not safe. There was a lot of excitement.
It just blows my mind, too, from what happened, because we're all thinking about Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady basically, you know, on easy street to play this next week, and boom, they're gone. That now leads us into questions about Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, and the latter, of course, not a spring chicken. Tom Brady's older, of course, than Aaron Rodgers. But first off, for Aaron Rodgers, if he's not going back, the first thing I think of is Jordan Love ready to step right in.
Yeah, not at all. I mean, he may be a nice prospect, but it would completely change their team. There's no comparison between what Rodgers brings to the table in terms of his experience and ability and just all the things they can take for granted as an organization. The ability to run a 2-minute drive at the end of the half perfectly. Just the ability to go toe-to-toe with a team in a high-scoring game. I know it wasn't like that for their game the other day because it was 8 degrees below zero or whatever. But there's no way. It would be a huge drop-off. They would suddenly become a team that's trying to be 500.
How different is this situation, you think? And we're just getting reports now that Aaron Rodgers will decide his future coming up in free agency. But how different is this now versus, say, 1 year ago with Aaron Rodgers?
I think it's a lot less hostile. He seems more reflective now, and I think he's disappointed to lose the game. But I think he was really upset with the organization and specifically the general manager. We were hearing stuff last offseason about how he was ridiculing the general manager in text messages, calling him names, to his teammates. He was upset. He didn't feel included, didn't feel respected. And so clearly he made it known after the game that he feels included and he feels valued. So I think they're at a much better spot. And now he's just going to probably watch and see, hey, where's the team at? You know, is there a bunch of roster maneuvering that has to happen? He probably wants to be involved. He may want to influence it. He may want a contract for himself. But to me, the challenges they have now are all things they can work through and work out. It's normal off-season stuff. It doesn't seem like there's a bunch of, you know, repairing of relationship to do.
And it seems like, again, it goes back to emotions where just, you know, time heals all wounds. And, you know, I ask in similar vein, it's incredible what this guy's done getting into his 40s. But what are you sensing with what's next for Tom Brady?
Oh, I would imagine he'd keep playing because he can throw 40 touchdown passes and be, you know, an MVP candidate. Now, I did start to hear some stuff 2 or 3 weeks ago coming from people kind of around him that, hey, it sounded like he was having those thoughts and he may be considering walking away. And of course, when they started talking about that on the broadcast, they show his family up in the booth, his wife. And I would imagine at this time of the year, through a difficult season, it didn't go over that smoothly for them, even though they were in good position. You start to wonder, is it as fun? Those types of things. And Maybe he needs to have some off-season questions, answers too, about what's the team going to do? Is it coaching staff dynamics to his liking? All of that. These guys don't, especially Brady, he doesn't have to keep doing this on anyone else's terms. So, I don't think he's made any decision. I doubt it. He'll probably talk it over and see what the team wants to do. And more than likely, if he wants to play, they'll probably do the things he wants to do.
Amazing that 44 years of age, he can still ask these kinds of questions here for himself. And given the fact that he's won so much, he's playing with house money right now for his career. We have Mike Sando with The Athletic on with us right now. Mike, examining Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, they were all still playing this last weekend. The gold standard is Tom Brady, but yet Allen, Mahomes, and Burrow, who is going to win more rings by the time that they're done?
Well, I'm going to say that it's going to be Mahomes because he's already got one. These are hard to get. And I think when you have a young quarterback, you think you've got a big championship window. You know, oh, well, no big deal. Josh Allen, he'll be back a million times. You just don't know that. It's not that easy. Your team changes. Coaches leave. The supporting cast is affected. Suddenly you're making a bunch of money. So I think this was a huge missed opportunity for Buffalo. Mm. I think they screwed it up from a coaching standpoint late in the game. They probably would have won the Super Bowl, had a better chance than anybody had they won that game. And so they come back next year. Well, guess what? Burrow and Mahomes are coming back too. And Herbert's playing well. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people you have to get past. So when you get chances to get to a Super Bowl, to win a Super Bowl, you've got to take them and you've got to make the most of them and win it because you're not going to get 5 chances to do it again.
Josh Allen losing to Patrick Mahomes, and you think that he's going to be around for a long time. The question is, though, how long? But for sure, talent-wise, he has arrived. It leads me, Mike, into the fact that it's funny how Andy Reid benefited and then joined the brigade of the change the coin toss rule about a couple of years ago. The benefits here, KC wins the toss, they go down, boom, win the game. Do you think we're going to revisit this coming up in the offseason?
I think it's one of those things that gets revisited, periodically. I don't sense there's a huge outcry over it. I think it was a natural thing to say after the game. Maybe they bring it up, but I don't know that there's suddenly going to be enough support to change it. Let's just say that existed last night. So, what happens if Josh Allen leads Buffalo down and they get a touchdown?
Yeah.
Well, then Kansas City goes and scores a touchdown, right? Or gets the ball back. and probably scores just the way the game was going. So last night was about as acute as it can get, where you feel like that rule should probably be changed. But if I were to list the 10 reasons why Buffalo lost that game, I wouldn't even think of that. they had so many other things that happened in the game. They're leading the game with 13 seconds left and kicking the ball off. That's their problem.
I love reading in The Athletic about your story with the epic in Miami victory, and your dad refused to leave the living room until the game concluded. Mom also got into it. We had Pete Weber, the broadcast voice, Nashville Predators, on the line earlier, but he was a part of the Buffalo Bills broadcast team, and he just mentioned how crazy that 1993 game was. All the sleet, rain, cold, freezing temperatures. It just seems like everything crazy happens when it comes to a Buffalo Bills playoff game.
Absolutely, yeah. I was actually watching some of the there was the old Montana Elway game today from Mile High Stadium in 1994. I think those games just stick with you. You know, the ones that, I can still remember, being old enough, I can remember watching the 1980 hockey, U.S. hockey.
Yeah,
you know, that those types of things, or you know, maybe it's a dream team game for somebody else, or a game seven. The Kirk Gibson home run. I can remember that one, watching it in a college dorm room with a 19-inch television that probably had rabbit ears and tinfoil on them. You know, just those types of things stick with you forever. And I thought that was one last night. You know, I was working, but I was home, and I was going upstairs to watch plays occasionally with my kids, you know, and we were just going crazy watching this play after play. So that's sports. It's one of the things that, you know, yes, it divides us sometimes when we argue about it, but it brings everyone together through a common experience. And shoot, my mom's 81 years old. She was texting me about the game after the game, which never happens. My mom's not texting me about games. I mean, it might happen every 10 years, you know, and that happened last night. And that's when I go, okay, this is really resonating on the beyond the diehard sports fan who has money on the game crowd, right? Everybody was into that.
Well, the whole DIY thing with the rabbit ears brought me back and makes me grateful for that YouTube is up now, because back in the 80s and 90s, I had to try to tape these games on VHS and hope that I didn't have something taped over from family, or that the game was going to make it all the way on the tape, or I didn't run out of VHS tape as well.
I've got boxes of those tapes. I put a bunch of them onto DVDs. I used to record all the broadcasts, like all the NBA. I had every NBA Finals game probably from about 86 to 2000. It's pretty cool. They're all on YouTube now, so you don't have to do it. You know, you can find them all on there. That's been the greatest thing. I love to go back and watch them.
Yeah, now that you have digitizers, you can easily hook one up to your VCR. I've done that too, and I got about probably 50 games, NFL, NBA, NHL, even Major League Baseball, all moved over just before the tape finally dies. And man, thank heavens here for technology. Mike, I love the look of the NFC side. Niners and Rams, and think what happens next, especially on the Niners side. We live in a world where Jimmy Garoppolo might make the Super Bowl twice in 3 years. If they win with him, what do they do with him and Trey Lance?
Yeah, I think it creates a political issue for them, you know, in the locker room, because it's easy to make moves on paper and say, hey, it's Trey Lance's time, but it's a harder thing to do to your team. And I think Garoppolo has a lot of respect of the guys in that locker room. George Kittle's a big fan of his. So even though we know the organization's kind of been itching to move on, or hasn't felt they can rely on him, or wants to do better than him, what if they were to win the Super Bowl? Well, let's just take it a step, you know, or even just getting there. I think it creates an issue for them. He's under contract to them next year. They probably work out some kind of a trade and decide to go with Trey Lance next year. But you wonder, you know, when you took Trey Lance, you didn't think that was going to happen. You still want it to happen. It's a good problem to have, but it is a little bit of a problem to have.
And that's what you aim for when you try to draft in these situations, and they put a lot of capital into getting Trey Lance. If they have to trade Garoppolo, regardless, winning it all or not, how much can they get for him?
I think it's higher than people think. Like, I've seen people say late round pick and that sort of thing, but I think that there's demand for a veteran quarterback. You know, they gave up a second round pick to get him. Could they get something close to that back, or a third round pick? Look, Carson Wentz is going to return a one to Philadelphia. Would you rather have Carson Wentz or Garoppolo? To me, it's you're betting on this magical upside of Wentz, but I don't know, does Wentz play better than Garoppolo?
And Mike, this is a pretty good time to have a surplus of quarterback, considering the fact that many people think there isn't a single quarterback worthy of a first-round pick this year.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. So I don't know if Garoppolo, people will perceive him as the one to get you over the hump, but if he goes to 2 Super Bowls in 3 years, it's not like people think the 49ers have the greatest roster in league history, and it's just that Jimmy's Rex Grossman or whatever, or some quarterback that, you know, is being carried by this elite, incredible defense, special teams, and they're winning every game, you know, 9-6. That's not it. You know, he's got a great record when he plays, and they put points on the board when it's not 8-0 in Green Bay. So I think it's a fascinating situation. It's a great problem for them to have. I did write in my column today, you know, what if they had tried to help Garoppolo instead of replace him? Because they had the 12th pick, which, by the way, was used for Micah Parsons, and then Rashawn Slater went 13. So if they had used one of those, can you imagine if the 49ers had Micah Parsons or Rashawn Slater on their team? I mean, they would be even better than they are now. So it just shows that it's an imperfect thing trying to plan around building a team and what's the best thing to do, right? It just rarely goes exactly how you thought it would.
And especially when it comes to NFL draft day, when your emotions are all dumped into that very first pick and thinking, oh, it's going to play out like this for 5 years. We don't know that. Nope. We don't know that. Mike, it's clear the Rams, as we said, are all in. No first-round pick since 2016. They're loaded up on contracts. Impending free agents, where do they go and what's next if they don't win at all?
Well, to me, their season's almost a success already because they're in the championship game. They made it further than they did before, so you keep doing what you're doing. I don't think that Matt Stafford's going anywhere for the next few years. Jalen Ramsey's still really good. Aaron Donald's still at the top of his game. Shoot, Von Miller looks great lately. Maybe you can even keep him. You've got Leonard Floyd, so I think you just try to do it again. You try to keep that window going, and there could come a point where if enough of those guys fall off, right, and you decided to do a reset, maybe you're going to change quarterbacks. Maybe you have a little bit of a longer, maybe it's a 2 or 3 year rebuild. But I like what they're doing. I like the fact that they're trying to get better. And look, some of these moves could have backfired, but it's hard to name one that did, right? I mean, most of these moves look pretty good because you're getting – we talked about how you just don't know in the draft. Well, you do know Jalen Ramsey's good.
Yeah.
And so, you know, to that extent in Seattle, they've tried that with some players, and that's one of the reasons I think they made a coordinator change on defense, because they have to get that type of value out of like a Jamal Adams, right? Mm-hmm. You've got to make those things work when you get good players, and I think the Rams have done a good job of that with the guys they've gotten.
Yeah, Jalen Ramsey out of Jacksonville, and many are saying potentially, you know, the way how this plays out, you could be attaching Hall of Fame to his name by the time that he's all done. Mike, the Seahawks beat the Niners twice, but also swept by the Rams. How far away are the Seahawks from being back in the NFC Championship talk?
Yeah, I think they're closer than I think the general perception is. I think there's been a narrative around the team that that they haven't done enough to help Russell Wilson, this and that. But I think we saw towards the end of the year, by the end of last year, I could tell, okay, they've got to do something defensively to get more out of what they've got. They're not using their guys right. When Carlos Dunlap suddenly comes in and has a bunch of sacks late in the year and you didn't hear from him the whole year, or when Jamal Adams disappears, those are things they've got to fix. So maybe they're doing that. I think we all saw offensively when they do have some type of a running threat, Russell Wilson's game, it looks easy for him. So I think you have to be heartened looking at the Rams and the 49ers and seeing where they're at playing in the championship game. How far were they away from being as good as the 49ers this year? Well, probably a Russell Wilson injury, right?
Yeah.
That's probably what it was. So I think they have to clear the air this offseason on the Wilson stuff. So remember we talked about Green Bay and how Rodgers was in kind of a bad frame of mind last year and had some tension with the front office and all of that. Mm-hmm. That had to be worked out. That doesn't just happen. It's you'd said time heals all. Well, it's not just time, it's effort. You know, the general manager went and visited Rodgers, right? They talked through things. So whatever that thing that's going on, if there's something there that needs to be addressed, I think it has to be more than time. I think they have to figure that out. And then shoot, you come back with a healthy Wilson, and if you have a run threat to go with his passing, you're going to be in the playoffs. So once you get in the playoffs, who knows?
Iron sharpens iron. Yeah, iron sharpens iron. And we're talking about the Seahawks playing in an NFC West that will have now somebody in the Super Bowl three times in the last 4 years. Hey, Mike, thank you very much here for your time. I've learned a lot more with you. We'll look forward to learning a lot more with you. Great, great read, by the way, and we'll check back in with you once again here.
Hey, thank you.
All right. Mike Sando of The Athletic joining us. And Shoals rolling along. We'll come back in a bit with Morgan, our KJR text line 49451. Back with you in a bit.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, it's Ian Furness for Aurora LASIK and Dr. J. Rudd. For about 15 years, I have had to use reading glasses for everything. Reading text, looking at my phone, script writing, whatever it was. I had to use reading glasses, but no more. I had refractive lens exchange at Aurora LASIK with Dr. J. Rudd. It's life-changing. I wish I would have done this years ago. You can check it out as well. Go to auroralasik.com. That's auroralasik.com. Dr. J. Rudd and his staff are sensational. No more readers. Get your consultation scheduled today. That's auroralasik.com.
Now back to Ian Furness on Seattle's original diehard sports station and home for the NFL playoffs and Super Bowl 56. Sports Radio 950, KJR.
Getting closer to the bottom of the hour on this two-hour session of Organized Chaos. Clear eyes, full hearts, full bellies also. I had to run back in here. Mike Benton filling in for Ian Furness today. Kevin's also back in the Red Box producer's booth right now. You had to stop me because our friends at Boar's Head, who are good friends with Softy, and Softy's got friends in high places all over the place here, brought in, I'm not kidding you, about three trays of about 9 square feet of nothing but veggies, hummus. I'm a sucker for hummus also.
I do enjoy hummus now and again. It's a good thing.
Crackers, graham crackers, Nutella. I forget the other hummus dip, but it was very, very sweet also.
A pear, right?
It was a pear hummus, yeah. And then they also had a whole tray full of maybe about the size of a hockey puck, sugar frosted pastries with a mix of hummus and also apple, kind of like an apple strudel, wrapped in bacon. I had never tasted something that had as much of a dynamite-like explosion of salt and sweet in my mouth like I just had.
It was good. It was very, very good. I appreciate them bringing those in. You know, sometimes it's nice to work in this building, you know?
Everyone's got friends in high places around here. Oh, man. I'm about to go home now, try to push my workout from about a half to about a full hour from now. But, hey, big thanks to friends over at Boar's Head. We'll talk more with Softy about that as we're getting ready here for Softy in just a bit. Also, your text in the KJR text line 49451. Great to have Mike Sando of The Athletic join us in the Beacon Plumbing Hotline. Pete Weber also broadcast voice, Nashville Predators. The Preds in town tomorrow night to face the Kraken.
I'm curious, thinking back to that conversation. Nashville is not a place that has been overly cautious in general with the whole COVID thing. I'm surprised that they're not traveling him.
Yeah, but also you have the issue of budgets. And not each broadcast team is built the same.
Yeah.
I want to say, I don't think the Boston Bruins have traveled for about 2 years. And now I can't get into specifics because I don't know what teams or broadcast outlets will spend on their production. But some teams have a bigger budget than others.
Yeah.
And hopefully that we get Pete back here with us down the line. But that's just one of the factors. On the KJR text line, I love this. Tom Brady probably said to Sean Hockley, "Your dad missed the same call on me 12 years ago."
It was very interesting. Now, I am not an NFL rules expert here, But they called on sportsmanlike conduct on him for abusing the officials. Now, is that one where if he gets a second, he gets kicked out? I think it is, right?
I think so, yeah. Don't quote me, but I think so.
That's what I think, but I don't know that 100% sure. But, boy, it's very interesting that they went down that road once. He didn't exactly let up and all of a sudden go buddy-buddy with the officials. I mean, how close were they to kicking him out?
I mean, Tom Brady, if he wanted to, would have the greatest chirp of all time for the Hockeylees. I worked with your dad. Who do you think you are?
Well, I mean, a lot of people did. I mean, Ed was around for a while.
Ed was. I'm kind of going off on a tangent here, but Ed was entertainment. Flex those big old biceps here.
The explanations got a little long with Ed.
It did. In very, very similar vein in the NHL, go ahead and YouTube Wes Macaulay. He was entertainment.
Well, see, I think Ian showed me the YouTube video of him. He's descriptive.
Oh yeah, well, I text a couple of sources around the league, and one who's very close to NHL officiating. And the fun part about Wes Macaulay is what you see is what you get. He also officiated a wedding this last summer. And opened up his blazer. He had custom lining in his blazer, and it was referee stripes. You want a guy who will officiate your wedding and do it seriously with some flair? Go ahead. Call Wes Macaulay. NFL OT, why not simply play a full 15-minute quarter in the playoffs and a 10-minute quarter for regular season?
Well, I've heard a few different thinkings on this, which is a weird thinkings, whatever. I'm going with it. A few different thoughts that people have had on this. One, and I actually understand this, they love the idea that the game can end at any time. Mm-hmm. So, a couple things. One, you know, they schedule the games. The first one yesterday kicked off just after noon Pacific time. Next one scheduled to kick off just after 3:30 Pacific time, correct? Mm-hmm. Well, they're not trying to overlap windows here. You don't want to have one game going on while the other game is going on.
And so let's not forget, it's also a TV revenue-driven league.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So you don't. The NFL doesn't want to fight against itself with these games if they don't have to. So that's one reason on their end. I will also say, if you can't get it done in the 60 minutes that are happening there, then yeah, you are leaving it up to chance a little bit. Now I can see some ideas on how they could mix it up. Maybe have each team start the possession at... Now, see, what I would say is I'd like to see them start the possession at the other 25.
Mm.
Make them drive 75 yards and do that. Even the 50 just doesn't feel like enough for me.
Yeah.
So, if you were going to change it at all, if you're going to make it be anything like college, then I need it to be a significant drive that has to happen in order for it to count. But even there, then you're taking away the punting game and the special teams a little bit, which I think it's all part of it.
But does that also create a disadvantage? Say, if you've got one team with a middle-of-the-road quarterback facing a team with, like, one of those Tier 1 QBs, Mahomes, Josh Allen, you know, the list goes on a little bit, but they can drive that 75 yards, your team can't.
Okay, well then, if you have a subpar quarterback, well, you're always going to be at a disadvantage because the NFL is about the quarterback. But also, shouldn't the rest of your team be even better if your quarterback's not as good?
And here's what I also get to about, hey, change the coin toss rule. Change the coin toss rule. If you go into overtime and you're complaining about, well, we're at a disadvantage here with the coin toss, play defense. Defense.
I mean, I do understand that the NFL is becoming, in many cases, so offensively driven that it's exasperated a little bit. But I like the fact that they force the defense to be involved in the game this way. And yeah, I mean, if you don't like it, then don't let it get to overtime and don't give up a touchdown.
That's
the first
exactly
drive.
What I was about to get at.
Yeah.
If you don't want to get there, then take care of your business in regulation.
It's the same thing. Now, it didn't. Interesting to have this conversation after this weekend, but you know they made it so there's only one bye now in the playoffs. Only the number one seed of each conference gets the bye. Well, that's not fair. What about the? Okay, well, you wanted to get the bye, then get the number one seed. Sometimes you get rewarded for doing better.
I'm always a fan of circumstances are always within your control. Number one here coming in. This weekend solidified to me the Hawks should trade Russ. Joe Burrow got sacked 9 times and still advanced the Bengals. Garoppolo is in the second NFC Championship game in 3 years from the defense and the run game. Then Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes put on a run-pass clinic that Russell Wilson no longer can do. By the way, now we know why John was scouting them.
Yeah, it's... It's funny, I forget who I was hearing talk about this. They were, you know, because what, exactly to point out, what Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen can do with their legs and their arms, and it's not like they have to be Lamar Jackson and be running down the field and doing all this stuff. It's about being super mobile in the pocket, moving around behind the line of scrimmage, and still keeping your eyes downfield and making those passes. I agree with it. Russ can't do that.
He can't do the same thing he did 8 years ago.
Back in the day he did, but he can't do it anymore.
No, and I think what's so great about Mahomes, and now you can legitimately say this about Josh Allen, they're tier one quarterbacks because they make good decisions. They're not trying to go out and play hero ball in the first quarter, in the second quarter. If they have to, you know, fake a guy, run it, off tackle, get some yards, fine. Then, when you get to the two-minute drill and you have to scramble and squirm away from three defenders oncoming and chuck it downfield, they have that talent.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how those guys age, similar to how we've seen Russell Wilson age. Because yeah. I think that's a lot of the conversation around Russ feels like you're attacking him for not being good enough. Well, it's like, no, I mean, attacking, you know, whatever, we're Russell Wilson haters for saying this stuff. No, he's just not the same quarterback that he was.
Yeah, and I fully acknowledge that Russell Wilson will not go down as one of the greats in this past generation, but in Seattle sports as well. But, I mean, the facts are facts. How old is he now versus about 8-9 years ago?
He's 8 or 9 years older, actually.
True. And you have to work around that. Yeah. Well, you're better than me because, you know, as far as I'm concerned, math is hard. But again, it just goes to show when you're trying to protect a quarterback getting older, you've got to work around that.
Yeah, and it's just as they become more expensive and the way that it's set up where guys, each time a good quarterback signs a new contract, it's the greatest, richest contract in the history of the NFL. Well, as you're paying them more and more and their skills at a certain point are diminishing, well, that they don't line up. I don't know if you're forcing someone to choose between Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll. That's a different conversation, yeah. But I think Russ in a vacuum on his own, not being the guy that he used to be, and the quarterbacks that we saw this weekend and three of the four that are left, well, I guess I was thinking Josh Allen, but like they're better. They're better than he is right now.
And we get to one more question to answer this from about last hour, Kevin. We get one saying, where's Josh Rosen? You ask Kevin. He's with the Falcons and threw 2 picks on 2 pass attempts. One was a pick 6. Boom, there you go. Softy and Dick getting closer. We'll come back in just a bit.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Now back to Ian Furness on Seattle's original diehard sports station and home for the NFL playoffs and Super Bowl 56. Sports Radio 950. KJR.
Hey, Mike Benton again filling in for Ian Furness. Softy and Dick right around the corner. Lot to talk about here again from what was maybe the greatest weekend in NFL playoff history. And now it's down to the Niners, the Rams, the Chiefs, and the Bengals. And just on time as well, Softy back here in these quarters to make fun of me once again.
It is so great to have you here.
filling in for Ian Furness, because I know that you are preparing for the Kraken Audio Network tomorrow.
Can you do it in that voice to open your own show?
At 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock faceoff on your home for Kraken hockey, as the Kraken look to duplicate the success that they had in week number 2 of their inaugural campaign against the Predators tomorrow night, right
now,
here
now,
at 950 KJR.
How hard do you have to work to get that voice
Let me ask you a question. When you talk to your wife, do you talk like that too to your wife? Honey,
oh, come on,
I will
now.
Be home at 7 o'clock. I'm going to stop by LA Fitness, pick up something from Bartels, and I will be home ASAP.
Right around the corner from Network Central.
I love it. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. Again, this is like a dream come true to say, hey, I'm on and Softy's next.
Yeah, well, then you got to raise the bar,
with
baby,
some dick.
All right? Yeah. Whoa, hey. If this is a dream come true for you, then you need to reset your goals in life.
All right? Maybe he's just happy being happy.
I'm just going to raise the bar a little bit.
This is what I say. I mean, hey, about doing something good, I want to make a good impact on social media.
Hey, your bucket list should include a lot more incredible feats than just filling in here for Ian Furness on KJR.
Hey, I've always said, hey, if I can golf at Augusta National,
maybe go
see a World Series game.
And do a show for Ian.
Stanley Cup final game and do a show for Ian right before Softy and Dick. It's
all four of those things are exactly the same. And by the way, Ian would love to have you fill in for him as much as you'd like, because that means he's on the golf course doing his thing. But yeah, man, what a great weekend in the NFL. I thought it was the greatest weekend in the history of sports. I thought it was one of the great weekends in TV broadcasting. Thought it really may have been the greatest weekend for mankind, to be totally honest with you. Because you remember, Eve stooped Adam on a Thursday, so that doesn't count, all right? But this is one of the great weekends for the NFL. I'm half kidding, obviously. But, you know, I know a lot of people complain about the lack of scoring in the other games, blah, blah, blah. I just think as long as a game is close and it's in the postseason, and you could maybe kind of parse it out so we're going to have something dramatic potentially happen in the closing minutes of a playoff game like that, you know, I was glued to the TV the entire freaking weekend, just like everybody else was. So, did you see the ratings in Kansas City? You guys see this,
goodness,
by the way?
I haven't seen it.
In the from like 5:45 to 6 o'clock Central Time, whatever it was, they had a 90 share for the game, which makes you wonder what the hell were the other 10% watching? They had 2% of the audience watching something on PBS
infomercials
at that time. It was incredible. I mean, those are probably people that, you know, they just don't even know football exists. You know, that carrier pigeon has not gotten to them yet. They have no idea.
Have you seen how much it's going to cost to get into the building
for
in
the
Los
Chief
Angeles?
Games?
No, in L.A. Yet, no. For Niners-Rams?
Well, I saw where L.A., the Rams are restricting ticket sales to people who live in L.A.
Yeah, well, that's because they're now trying to keep out the Sea of Red. That's
right.
Why.
Yeah, good luck with that.
And
good
it's about probably $1,000 when you throw in the actual gate price, then tickets, or then ticket fees, then parking.
Okay.
So then my question is, if you live in L.A., would you rather go to SoFi or go to Vegas?
Well, I don't know, man. I mean, it's there's a lot of sports books you can go to now. You don't need to be in Vegas to be at a sports book. Go check out the Emerald Queen Casino, by the way. But the cheapest ticket right now on VenueKings.com for the NFC Championship is $490. And that's in section 524, which I think might be like actually in Hollywood. That's how far away you are.
I was going to say more like Long Beach.
Yeah, yeah, but it's crazy, man. It makes you kind of, you know, yearn to get back there.
So one ticket broker down there who spoke with Arash Markazi was saying that he is expecting it to be absolutely overwhelmed with 49ers fans, because they are way more willing to spend the extra money on this than the Rams fans are.
Right. Well, they did that the last time they
played
down
there. But you would think in the playoffs, like, oh, maybe it'll be different. No, it's going to be worse.
Yeah. Well, again, you can restrict who can buy them, but you can't restrict who they sell those tickets to.
Right? Yeah, it's not the first time.
Unless
they've
you
tried
disable
this
the forwarding option, which would be ridiculous if they did something like that. So, yeah, I mean, they've lost 6 in a row to San Francisco. It's funny how this division works, man, because the Rams own the Seahawks own the Niners, and the Niners own the Rams, right? I mean, it's like
the perfect circle of cycle.
Everybody has their issue with somebody in this division, and I think it's great for the NFL. I think you're seeing exactly what played out during the regular season, which is parity, right? I mean, you've got two of the top three seeds in the AFC, all top three seeds in the NFC are out. It's 2 versus 4. It's 4 versus 6, which is what we've been saying on the air the last couple weeks. Of all the years for the Seahawks to stink, right? With the amount of parity you have in the NFL,
yep.
It's not very often where you can say in the NFL what you say in baseball, which is just get in. People say that all the time in baseball. We don't really often say that in the NFL because usually the cream rises to the top when it comes to the postseason. But out of all the years to miss the playoffs, man, it's, you know what, you watch that line of the Chiefs and the line of the Bills, and it's just a different stratosphere compared to what the Hawks have.
And now we have Tom Brady, who will not play this next week.
Now we have Tom Brady, who split his lip.
Would you?
And a national emergency ensued. I want to know what he said to Sean Hockley. What do you think he said to Sean Hockley to get that flag?
I mean, he was.
Do you know who I am? And also, I know your dad.
He was right in his face.
Yeah.
I mean, so no matter what he said, if you're using a four-letter word or some form of it,
yes,
and you're like 3 inches away from a guy's face, I can understand being like, you can't do that.
Well, if you've seen the movie Bull Durham, you know there's certain things a player cannot say to an official or an umpire, which we cannot repeat here on the air, obviously.
Thank you.
But what was interesting to me, and I'm sure that this has happened before, but I was talking to Hugh about this, right? Noted Tom Brady defender before I came on with you guys, and the other official, umpire, back judge, whatever, you can see it in the picture when Brady goes after Hockley. This guy's like, hey! Like, he jumped in to kind of tell Brady to zip it at the exact same time. So, I don't know, man. You know what? That's a hell of an idea for an auction item. Tom Brady could raise a lot of money for charity down the road. He can provide that kind of information. You will be able to find out what Tom Brady said.
Story time with Tom Brady.
Nobody else will know about you. Start the bidding at $5,000. I mean, somebody would pay for that, right? I've said before that Rob Gronkowski should do that. Rob Gronkowski, when he's done playing, should go around to charity auctions across the country, offer himself up for a weekend in Vegas.
Why Rob Gronkowski does not have, when he's done, his own radio show, his own TV show, his own Grand Cruise line in about 2 years?
Right.
Blows my mind.
Obviously, did the cruise line thing actually work, by the way?
Obviously, you and I have proven that doing a radio show is not that hard, so he could easily pull that off. But imagine him going around to, like, you know, all these big-time, you know, mucky-muck charity auctions where people are raising millions of dollars, and you're sitting there weekend in Vegas with Gronk, starts at $15,000, you get 10 guys, and you buy it, man.
Have you seen Entourage the movie?
Winner.
Have you seen Entourage the movie?
Yes, I have.
Even that cameo just tells me the whole thing right there.
Yeah, no, he would be incredible. So anyway, we're going to go around the league today. Our buddy Soren Petro from Kansas City will join us. Mo Egger is with us from Cincinnati. The Bengals are in the AFC Championship for the first time since I was a sophomore in high school, by the way. He'll join us. Our buddy Grant Cohen, who is a noted Jimmy Garoppolo hater, will join us on the air today as well. And then your buddy, your partner, Everett Fitzhugh. You know what Monday night is, baby, on KJR? It's hockey night in Seattle.
Let's go.
On Monday nights. He's with us at 6:05 tonight as well.
Fitz, the ultimate beauty. We learned a lot here for today. I'll have Softy tripping me once again for my radio voice as I
you
go home.
You sound great. And don't forget Kraken and the Predators tomorrow on the Kraken Audio Network
Bengals,
at 6:30.
Bengals are back in it since Softy was young. I'm going to icky shuffle out of here, by the way. Hey,
wow.
Softy and Dick are up next. See ya.
For the mild-mannered and marginally objectionable Ian Furness, this is Paddle Day saying so long, everyone.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.